Well, let's pray as we come before the Lord. Lord, we do just thank you that we have your word, that we can read your word. But we thank you also, Lord, that you have allowed us to understand your word. And we pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would help us to grasp what it is saying, to learn from it, to be able to apply what we learn. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Some of you might be familiar with building practices. And if you talk to any builder, you will find that they will say that the most important part of any building is the foundation. If you're going to cut corners, they will tell you, don't cut them on the foundation. A good foundation is essential. Just yesterday, there was a photo of some houses down in the Western Cape where the land has moved slightly and the foundations have cracked. Those houses are going to have to be torn down and rebuilt. But friends, the same is true when it comes to life. And so we are told, if you're a scholar, if you're a learner at school, you will be told that you need to have a good foundation in education. You have to get a good matric. Otherwise, the rest of your life will fall apart. And yes, there's wisdom in that. They tell you that if you want to do well at maths, you need to have a good grounding in the basic principles of maths. They tell us that if we want to build a good economy in this land, then we need to develop a good foundation. In fact, in our own land, people put a huge emphasis on the people who govern this land. We've got to get those who govern this land right so that we've got a good foundation on which to build our country. But friends, all of those things, as great as many of them are missing one very important issue. That those are actually secondary foundations. You see, friends, unless our foundation of our society, our education, our economy, our government is built on a real foundation, it is not going to last. And I think that's what the psalmist realizes here in this next section in Psalm 119. That he shows us where we should put and build on the real foundation. My first comment this morning is the very foundation of the world. Verse 89 to verse 91. Just look at verse 89 here for a moment. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. You see, what the psalmist, I believe, is acknowledging here at this point is that the very words of God cannot be shaken. They cannot be shaken by the events of the world, by the governments of the world, or by anything else in this world. Notice where they are standing firm. They are standing firm in heaven. And in a way, that reminds us of the words of the Lord Jesus, which Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, as he was talking to the people from the mountain, as he was preaching to them. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not? Well, he says, moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. And then he goes on to say, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, friends, the psalmist is recognizing that God's word stands eternal. Nothing can destroy it. It is in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can break in and steal it. The psalmist recognizes that it is better to trust in something like that, the Word of God, than to trust in the things that can rust, things that can be stolen, things that can break. Just this week, as many of you will know, we had a big robbery up at the mall, where two of the most secure facilities within our community were bombed and robbed. Yeah, they didn't get away with a lot. But you see, even the money in our banks is not secure. But God's word, friends, is eternal. And it stands firm in the heavens. But notice also what the psalmist says here in verse 90. He says, your faithfulness, he's speaking here about God's faithfulness, continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Now, the word here for faithfulness can also mean God's word, God's covenant, God's promises to us. So we could read this verse, your word, O Lord, continues through all generations. Your word establishes the earth and it endures. You see, not only is the psalmist saying that God's word is eternal and cannot be shaken, but that God's word is what the very thing that keeps this world going. Now, again, in our own society, we often put our hope and our trust in specific things. Perhaps we trust in our education. I've got to get a good education. Perhaps we trust in some or other political party. It's got to be, we've got to vote for this party if things are going to come right. Perhaps we trust in our bank balances or in our investments that we have. We might think that if we'd had a better upbringing, if we'd chosen or made better choices, then things would have been better for us. But the psalmist says here, it is God's word that sustains this world. Not the politicians, not our education, not our upbringing, not our financial investments or our health, but God's word. You see what the psalmist is saying here? The foundation of this world is the word of God, the Bible, if we want to call it that. The foundation of this world upon which everything else needs to be built is on the Word of God. The eternal Word of God that cannot be shaken, that cannot be destroyed, that sustains this world. And then just notice verse 91, where the psalmist says, your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. In other words, although the world tells us that God's laws are outdated and antiquated pieces of history that need to be thrown out, the psalmist tells us that God's laws are eternal. And, he says, not only are they eternal, but that everyone in this world serves God. See, William Taylor suggests that when we live according to the Word of God, the laws of God, which are in fact, he says, the laws of the world, he says we are walking along the very grain of the universe. It is like when we obey the words of God, the laws of God, we are living in the fullest way that we can. But too often today the world thinks that some of God's laws are just totally antiquated. Apparently one of the big denominations in our country has just made the decision not to bless same-sex marriages, for which we can be grateful, but they have said that they want to continue the debate so that they can find out what God's word really says. You see, when we obey the laws of God, we are living in the way God wants us, and we are living to the fullest that we can. One commentator used the example of the Sabbath day. You remember that one of the Ten Commandments is to honor the Lord by keeping the seventh day set aside for Him, a day of rest, if you like. And that's how we've been created. When God created the world, 6 days He created the world, and the seventh day He rested. And we have been created with that very cycle in mind. And so it is important that we take a day's rest. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole debate about which day that is, because I don't think it really matters as long as we have a day's rest and that we serve the Lord and worship the Lord on that day. But the world says, you know what, a day's rest, that's just a waste of time, it's silly, I can't make money if I'm sitting at home watching TV. How am I supposed to relax and have fun if I'm supposed to do nothing on that day? And so for many, we totally ignore God. Yet secular doctors who know nothing about God's laws, are saying that more and more people are becoming stressed and anxious. High blood pressure is a massive issue within the medical world. And some of these secular doctors are saying that we are stressed, that we have high blood pressure and so on, because we fail to take time off. One physician wrote in the New York Times a couple of years back, and said that many of our issues that we are facing today is because of the lack of rest that we have. And when he prescribes rest to people, as they sometimes do in very serious cases, he says actually this rest is just a series of Sundays in arrears. Now that's coming from the secular world, that's not coming from the Bible, but they are acknowledging that that is the way we have been made. And that's what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 119, that God's laws are eternal. We can never escape from them, and we are created to serve the Lord, in other words, to obey them. And so when we fail to obey God's laws, well, that's when all the struggles come in. That's when we have high blood pressure and stress and everything else. Because often, and I'm not saying that this is always the case, but sometimes it's because we fail to rest. We fail to serve God and take a day off once a week. And we could apply that to any of the other Ten Commandments, any of the other of God's commands to us. But the psalmist is saying here that God's word is unshakable. It is the very foundation of the world. It is the very foundation that sustains everything else in this world. It cannot be blown up. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be robbed. And friends, I think as we face our day-to-day life, isn't it wonderful to realize and to be reminded that although there are some great things in this world, there is nothing greater and nothing more powerful, no deeper foundation than the very Word of God. Whatever the political climate might be, whatever the struggles are with education, and we just have to look at the universities and the whole situation that's going on there, we might have put our trust in that. And some people are putting their trust in the fact that they might not have to pay for tertiary education. But friends, a few moments ago we sang a song. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Can you remember what the chorus bit said? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. That's just the ups and downs of life. Fastened to a rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. And it's with that in mind that the psalmist then moves on to talk about himself. And so my second comment this morning, standing on this foundation, from verse 92 through to verse 94. We see again, as we've seen in previous talks on Psalm 119, that the psalmist's life is not a bed of roses. Although I think a bed of roses is exactly what life is like. There's some good moments in it, but there's a lot of thorns as well. And that's what the psalmist's life is like. There's a few good moments, a few bits of colour, but actually there's a hang of a lot of thorny, prickly patches. Look at verse 92, just to get a feel for how the psalmist is feeling. He says, I would have perished in my affliction. It's not a kind of word that we like to apply to us today, affliction or perishing. Even in verse 95, look what the psalmist says, that he has been ambushed by his enemies. In many ways, what the psalmist is going through is no different to us today. Yeah, maybe the circumstances have changed, but the psalmist is facing difficulties. And I know for many of you that you are also facing difficulties, just like I am. But isn't it great to know that as we face those difficulties, we have a firm and solid foundation in the Word of God? You see, you might be thinking there, just work. I just cannot carry on. What a bunch of people that I work with. They're always fighting. They're always squabbling. There's so much politics in the workplace. I just cannot carry on. Perhaps within your own family, you're fighting over relationships with teenagers, with children, with a spouse perhaps, or maybe with your parents or your children. Perhaps finances are just too tight for you. I've got to find something better. I've got to find someone else to invest my money with so that things will come right with me. Again, the psalmist doesn't give us any indication on how to overcome those things in the sense of coming right and having enough money and having perfect relationships and so on. But he does say that he has something that he can hold on to in the midst of those situations. You see, look what the psalmist says, verse 93. If your law had not been my delight. In other words, if I had not trusted in the eternal word of God, he goes on to say in verse 93, I would have perished in my afflictions. Verse 94, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Verse 95, save me, for I am yours, I have sought out your precepts. Those of you who were in the army, perhaps you were called up from the army straight out of school, will know that instructors drill you. They drill you and drill you. And drill you until the blisters have blisters, and until you are absolutely, totally sick of doing these things. When it comes to guns, they make you shoot and shoot and shoot until you just cannot miss. They make you strip that gun and clean it until you can literally do it with your eyes closed. Why? Why do they do that stuff over and over and over again? Well, it's so that it becomes second nature to you. So that when you're stuck in a war, in a battle somewhere, you don't even have to think about how to respond.
If your gun jams while you're shooting, you don't even have to think about how to fix it. It's second nature to you. And you can do it. And here's the psalmist saying the same things. Yes, I'm in a world of conflict. Yes, I'm struggling. Yes, I have enemies out there who are intent on getting me. But look what the psalmist does. Instinctively, he turns to the very foundation of the world, the very core of his being, the Word of God. If it were not, he says in verse 92, for your law, for your word. Verse 93, I have never forgotten your precepts. You see, friends, I sometimes wonder if we all don't struggle in life because instinctively we don't turn to God's Word. We look to our financial institutions. We think a change of job is going to sort things out. Perhaps we think, you know, well, I will pick up my Bible from time to time when I'm not too busy or when I'm not too tired or when I'm not too stressed or when I just can't cope anymore. And the Bible becomes our last resort rather than our instinctive resort. Surely if God's Word, friends, is the true foundation of the world, the eternal message of God, that He would not be able to handle our problems better than we can? Now, don't hear me wrong here. I'm not saying that if I read my Bible, my life will suddenly all sort itself out and I will have everything going for me. Because, well, we certainly see from the psalmist, even just in this section, that things weren't going right for him. Yet, in the midst of it, he trusted God. Even when the foundations of society collapse, we can be secure in the Lord. Now, friends, Christianity is not a crutch that we use in times of hardship when I need a bit of perking up. Nor is Christianity something that we just do when we are feeling well. Christianity and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be the very core of all that we do, in good times and in bad. And so notice how the psalmist has here, and thirdly, a total security in the Word of God. And these are the last two verses of this section. The psalmist seems to be facing some untold difficulties. Verse 95, the wicked are wanting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. 96, to all perfection I see a limit, but your command are boundless. You see, friends, despite the hardship that this psalmist is going through, he ponders the Word of God. Now, pondering is not just, let me just read it and then we forget about it. Pondering means to apply to our lives, to think it through. Pondering also isn't that mystic thing of meditation. Transcendental meditation where we just lose our minds. No, it's reading it. It's taking note of what it says and applying it to our lives. Giving thanks to God that even though we have these amazing abilities, or as the psalmist says here, the perfections, even though there are some magnificent worldly empires, they will all come to an end. He says here in verse 96, to all perfection I see a limit. So as good as I might be able to do things, it is limited. But, he says, your commands, your word, your truths are eternal. They are boundless. They are firm in heaven. Friends, all of us are going through hard times, some more than others, some
got massive health issues. Others are struggling immensely financially. But how wonderful is it to know that the person who has said he has rescued us from our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is known in the Bible as the Word of God, is eternal, stands firm in heaven, cannot be shaken. And yes, although our politicians might come in and get into power and do all sorts of things while they're in power, although we might have a brilliant education, nothing can shake us because of our trust in Jesus. How wonderful to know that despite our broken relationships, our stressful jobs, that we have a foundation that can't be shaken. As the world falls around us, falls apart around us, how great is it to know that our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is firmly established and eternal. Can you see why Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, sure passage that you've heard 100 times before, but Paul says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's what the psalmist is saying here. That's what Paul says in Romans. Friends, where are we putting our trust in? A new job? Better finances? Good health? Restored relationships? And yes, all those things are wonderful and great. But what happens if they don't come right? Do we trust in the very foundation of this world, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we trust in God's Word that is eternal? You see, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for this amazing passage that you've given us this morning. This amazing passage, Lord, that just reminds us of how your Word is the foundation of the world. How it is unshakable, and even though we face struggles and difficulties and hardships, we thank you, Lord, that you are always there. So, Lord, help us to put our trust in you. Help us, Lord, to honor you as we live according to your Word. That, Lord, if there are any here this morning who are not trusting you, we pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts, that you would speak to them and turn them to you. Lord, help us, we pray. In your name, amen.